tell me as soon as they're ready to go. Are we good? Yeah, we're finding out? Okay. All right. Let me say hello to everybody at home, all of those of you tuning into Facebook Live. And appreciate so much you tuning in on Wednesday evening. I hope you printed off a study guide that you can use as we'll go through a brand new series tonight. But we miss you. I will look forward to seeing you just as soon as possible. And we're not on yet? Yes? I'm getting mixed signals. I'm getting these. We're sideways? Okay, so those of you that are home, now I'm probably upside down. All right, never mind them. Let's get into this Bible study. We'll figure it out here in just a little bit. Technology. Listen, this is exactly why we are looking to go to YouTube instead of Facebook Live, because it's going to be a much better platform. And as soon as we get a new computer for that, then that's something that we're going to get going, and that'll be much better for people at home. Yes, sir. Friday night, there is something special going on here, 7 o'clock. It's actually going to take place in this room. And if you want to know what that is, talk to Ken, or you could just show up. And you'll find that you'll be glad that you came. Something very, very special. And come out. I'm going to be here, and I'm looking forward to it as well. Okay, let's get into the study tonight. So let me just jump right into this. So you can see the title. We'll get to this here in just a minute. You know, there are a lot of odd relationships in the world, but I think one of the strangest relationships, when you think about it, is the relationship of Christians with the Jews. You know, when we think about the relationship that Christians have with the people of Israel, particularly the Jews of Israel, those that follow the religion of Judaism, you know, when you consider this, Christianity, the focus of Christianity is all about one person, and that is whom? Jesus. So the focus of Christianity is all about Jesus. The Jews actually reject Jesus. Now, normally, hi folks, come on in, sit anywhere you'd like. We're glad to have you a part of our study tonight. But so usually when somebody rejects our Savior, how do we feel about them? Yeah, we just have some negative kind of feeling. I'm not saying that doesn't mean we don't like them or hate them or anything, but you know, we just don't feel that positively about it. But in the case of the Jews, even though they reject the Messiah, they reject Jesus, the focal point of Christianity, we still love and have a respect for and an honor for God's people, or we should. Right. Or we should. Yeah. And I've said it lately, I'm going to say it again, the day America stops doing that is the day that God will forget about America. So it's an odd relationship, you know, that we have with the Jews. Our two big holidays, for example, we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and we always celebrate. Of course, the big one is the Easter. Really, the most important one is Resurrection Day. You know, the resurrection of Jesus. Those are denied. Those are shunned by the Jews, and yet we still have this relationship with them. Now, here's the question, and here's what we're going to be dealing with for the next few weeks. The question is, we all feel so strongly and believe so strongly in Jesus. Yes? It's hard for us to understand why they don't. Two groups of people. The Jews back in Jesus' day, when Jesus came in the flesh, you know, we wrestle and we struggle with how did they not recognize him? All those prophecies that we talk about, all those things that were said in the Old Testament, and they were looking for the Messiah. They were longing for the Messiah to come, and he came, and he fulfilled all those prophecies. How did they miss that? So we've got that group, and then we've got the group today. You say, well, so, and why do they still, why do they still reject Jesus? And so that's kind of what we're going to be talking about a little bit. Those are the two questions I'm kind of giving as an introduction here. So we'll begin with the reason that they don't believe in Jesus today is actually very simple. It's very clear in Scripture. Let's take a look at it. And the reason is because God has blinded them. Look at Romans chapter number 11. So why do the people of Israel now, the vast majority of people in Israel, only 2.5% of the people in the Israelites today believe in Jesus Christ, or believe that he was the Son of God, the Messiah? We would call them Christians. Okay, so why is it like that? Here we go. Romans chapter 11, verse 7. Here's what Paul said. He said, here's why. He said, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election, that means the Jews, have obtained it. I'm sorry, the other. And the rest were blinded. There were a few that believed, but the rest were, notice the last word there, blinded. Now the question we ask is, well, who blinded them? Let's continue reading, verse 8. According, a lot of people think it was Satan that blinded them. According as it is written, God has given them a spirit of slumber. Now, when we use the word slumber, what does that mean? Is that the same thing as dying? No, slumber means they're asleep. But someday, as a nation, as a people, they will wake up. Yes? That's the idea, right? When you go to sleep, you wake up. That's what we all hope for. Remember that prayer you used to say as a kid that your parents would teach you as a kid and it creeped you out? Right? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, what? Wait, why am I praying that? I don't want to talk about that. So they're slumbering. Or in other words, spiritually speaking, let's continue reading. Their eyes they should not see, ears they should not hear. And notice, unto this day, now let's skip ahead and pick up the last verse there, verse 25. And then God just makes it very clear here. Paul says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, we finished up a whole series on prophecies, right? We talked, and something I don't do very often, but I took some time and we talked about the prophecies about the end of days or the end of this age. This age is called the church age, the age of grace, or the times of the Gentiles. That's the church. That's us. So in other words, about 2,000 years ago, when the Jews rejected Jesus, when they did not believe in him, God put them, in essence, to sleep as a nation. He caused a blindness to come across them so that they could not, at that time, once they made the decision to reject Jesus in the flesh, God blinded them from that day all the way through even today. Now, when will he wake them up? Well, we know from other scriptures, we're not going to turn to it now, we know that God will sort of wake them up as a nation when this age is over. This age is over with an event that we have a word for. It's called the rapture, when the church will be taken out of the world. And when the churches, when all the Christians leave this world, then the 7-year tribulation period will begin, and that's when God will again come back to his people, the Jews, and they will be his focus one more time. Is everybody with me on that? If you're not, then you know, we'll get together sometime, we'll talk about that. But that's really important to understand. So that's why today the Jews do not believe. That's why when we were in Israel, that's why only 2.5% of the nation of Israel believe in Jesus or believe that he was the Son of God. They reject that. In fact, they greatly reject that. And so, you know, it was an amazing thing. I think I shared this. I shared this with them when we first came back from Israel. We actually went to a church in Cana that had to meet on the third floor of a building. Now, you think these stairs out here are bad? Who hates these stairs out here? Who is it that hates these stairs? You all hate these stairs? How would you like, I counted them, how would you like to go up 38 steps to get into the church? But that's what they had to meet on the third floor of a building. They had to meet after dark, and they had to keep it very, very secret because they were surrounded by mostly Muslims in the city of Cana, and that's within the nation of Israel. So even within that little town, the churches there just don't, they have a very difficult time. So that's why the people of Israel today don't believe in Jesus, and that's because they have been blinded. But now the real question is, but what about 2,000 years ago? What about the innkeeper of that? What about the innkeeper? You know, what about the people that were there when the announcement was that Jesus was born? What about the people that saw Jesus do miracles? What about the people that lived at the time that Jesus did, that brief period, about 33 years somewhere in there? Why didn't they believe? Why didn't they believe that Jesus was the Son of God? And in particular, we're going to be talking about the kind of the Christmas story. We're going to go back And we're going to go back to somewhere around, it's believed about 6 BC. Believe it or not, Jesus wasn't, there is no such thing as year zero, okay? There's no year zero. And most scholars believe that Jesus was probably born, and it's kind of ironic, Jesus was born 6 years before Christ, okay? Somewhere about 6 BC. And the reason for that is simple, because we know that Herod was the king at the time, and he died in 4 BC. That can be documented. And so the wise men, if you remember, came to Herod somewhere in within 2 years of when Jesus was born. So if you do the math, it's somewhere in the vicinity of 5 or 6 BC, that's when Jesus was born. So we're going to go back to that time. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to go back to that time, and we're going to try to figure out, how did they miss it? Why did they miss it? Why did these Jews that were so looking for the Messiah, how did they not recognize him when he came? So tonight, the first study in this series of four, and tonight we're going to be talking about this topic, the unlikely people that were involved. In other words, first reason that many of the Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was not the promised Messiah, is because of the people that were involved in his birth. Now, when we get into this, let's talk about the Christmas story for a minute. Again, I think I put this on your paper. So very, very quickly now, let's do this. Let's do this as a group. You get to name one. If I ask you to start naming the people in Scripture that are a part of the Bible story, those of you online, you can start typing in names as much as you want to and fast as you can if you want to comment. Name one person that was involved in Jesus' birth. Let's just raise your hand up, and I'll point at you, and you yell it out. Teresa. Mary, that's an easy one. Joseph, two easy ones are gone. Diane, you don't know anymore? Yeah, I know, they took yours. The three wise men. Kind of, yeah, they came later, but part of the birth. Yes. Yes, Dave. Elizabeth. Who was Elizabeth? Mary's cousin. Yes. Mary's cousin, Jesus' aunt. That's right. Robert.
The innkeeper.
Tana, you rubbed your nose. That counts as a hand raise. Names? The shepherds. Who else? Yes, sir.
Does Anna count?
Anna, absolutely. The prophetess Anna. I didn't think I knew if anybody would come up with that, you would. By the way, who was the other? Who was the other one?
Simeon.
Simeon. Yes. The angel. Okay. Yeah. The angel. Kind of not a man, but yeah. Okay. Not a people. But we'll take that. Yeah, Dave. Not a people. Yeah. Very funny, Dave. I knew I shouldn't have called on you a second time. Who else? Anybody else involved? Can you think of anybody else?
Herod.
Yeah, not in a good way. So how many, now of all of those, that's not very many. Not for the birth of a king. Right. Of all those we just named, how many were actually at Jesus' birth within just a day or two? Shepherds, Mary, and Joseph, and Nestor the long-eared donkey, right? You remember that show? No, nobody remembers that show. You remember that? So just really, that's not very many people, is it? Not compared to the birth of previous kings. When previous kings were born, it was known they were going to be born. The wise men didn't travel from a long way. They knew when they would travel long in advance. They were there when it happened. The dignitaries, all the important people, would have been there when previous kings had been born. So this is just a very small group of people, and so we have this. So we have this thing. So this small group of people are where this started. Now the question is, why then would the rest of Israel not buy in? When the shepherds went out and they told everybody what happened, when the word spread that the Messiah had been born, what happened? Why would most of the Jews not believe? You want to go ahead and weigh in?
Like today, was it fear? Like they were scared to be different?
Yeah. They wanted the Messiah. Yeah, but they didn't know what he would be yet. Good. That's a good point. That kind of is ahead of us a little bit. So go ahead.
They want a name.
Yeah, but you all are getting ahead of me. We're talking about just a baby. We're talking about baby, and then kind of let's stick with just the Christmas part. Why didn't they come in and see? Why didn't everybody descend on that stable? We'll get to that.
Shepherds were liars back then.
Shepherds, the people involved. We'll get into that here in just a minute. Yes. Let's jump into this. Let's just go ahead and jump into this, since you've all got these answers. Let's go ahead and let's take a look at the scripture that backs up everything that you're talking about. So let's start with Mary. Why would Mary have seemed so unlikely to the Jews? Now, remember, even though we're not Catholic, we look at Mary as with high regard. Yes, God chose her of all the women in the world to be the mother of the Savior. She was a special, special lady. And she was a good woman. God chose her because she was a good, good woman. So why would the others not believe? Why would Mary being the mother, why would that cause some of those first century Jews to not believe that Jesus was the Messiah? And it goes back to begin with what Roy said, and that is the main reason is because she was from Nazareth. She was from Nazareth. Let me show you some pictures of Nazareth as I get into talking about this. So are we there yet? We're not there yet, are we? Sorry. Let's go to the scripture first. Let me go to the scripture first. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Jesus. So this is an area that is north of Bethlehem and Jerusalem. In Israel, we'll see some pictures of it here in a minute. So Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, why was he traveling there?
Taxes.
Yeah, it was actually a census. The king ordered a census. He wanted to know everybody, where they came from, kind of like we did a census this year. And they want to know where everybody is, how much money they make, and all that. That's what it was. And then they pay taxes on that. Joseph was from Bethlehem, and his family was from Bethlehem. That's where he had to travel to. Verse 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. That means she was getting ready to have a baby. So here's the scripture we read oftentimes at Christmas time. Now, what is it about Nazareth that would make it to where someone who is a Jew back then would say, wait a minute, Mary's from Nazareth? I don't think the Messiah's mother is going to be from Nazareth. Let me show you some pictures here before we get into this. So you see the city on the top of that hill right there? That is today Nazareth. That's where it was. So it was sitting up on top of a hill. This picture that I took with my phone actually is looking out over that valley. Do you see the valley there? That is actually the Valley of Megiddo. That is where Jesus will one day destroy his. That's the valley that the Bible says will be filled with blood up to the shoulders of a horse. That's where the final battle is going to take place. You know, it's an amazing thing. The tour guide that we had was actually a Jewish man who was also a Christian, and he made a great point, and I just thought it was very, very interesting. There's some. You see the cliffs there? He said, I can almost imagine Jesus as a boy going out onto those cliffs and just sitting there looking out over that valley. You get where I'm going with that? And I don't know at what point Jesus knew, at what point his understanding had been opened by his father, per their agreement. But you can imagine he looking out over that valley, the same valley that one day in the future he will come back and he will conquer all of his enemies on earth. What an amazing thing it is that he could have sat right there looking out over that valley just as a boy. But anyway, back to the story. So this is Nazareth. This is where Mary and Joseph were from. This is where they traveled from to get to Bethlehem. Let me show you another picture. Now, you see in the distance there, that's the same mountain that we were just looking at. Okay, that was up much closer. Do you see the road down there at the bottom? That was the main road that was traveled even in the days of Jesus. In the days that Jesus was born, there was only one main road that ran north and south all the way through from where this area. So do you see how far away Nazareth is from the main road? So basically what that means is, in the way that our tour guide explained it, nobody lived in Nazareth unless they had to. You know, in those days, Nazareth was a place, like we might say it's like Detroit, you know, or something like that. No offense to you Detroit fans, but you know, if somebody says they're from Detroit, you're like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? You know, or that, but this is just the way it was. Only poor people lived in Nazareth. Only people who could not live anywhere else. Doesn't sound like the place where most Jews would think the mother of the Messiah would come from. The mother of the king would come from. And so that's Nazareth. Now, let me just show you a couple of the, just for your interest here. This is actually a church that has been built on what they believe to be the place where Mary and Joseph actually lived. And go ahead and show the up-close picture of it, if you would, please. So that is, now, again, nobody knows for sure, but the way that the tour guide said, he was very honest with us most of the time, because I was always asking, it's like, yeah, how sure are you that's a real deal? You know, and like the tomb of David is not the tomb of David. Everybody knows it, but they still call it the tomb of David. But he said actually the collective memory of the village throughout the years, the centuries since then, this has been pretty standard all the way through. They believe this is actually the place where Mary and Joseph might have lived, and they're fairly certain that that is accurate. So I just wanted to show you that just by way of interest. But the point is, Nazareth was not a place where you would expect the mother of the Messiah to go. Now, how do we know that's true? How do we know that it was a big deal in those days? How do we know that when we say the word Nazareth, we're so used to talking about Jesus of Nazareth, we think it's a great place. So how do we know that they did not think that same way back in the days when Jesus was born? I'll show you how, because in Matthew chapter number, in John chapter number 1, we find a story where Jesus was calling a man named Nathanael. He sent Philip to get Nathanael to come and be one of his disciples. Now watch this. Philip finds Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth." So Philip's all excited, and he thinks Nathanael's going to be excited, you know, because they found the Messiah. He is telling Nathanael that we found the Messiah, and Nathanael would have been excited about it until he said, "Jesus of Nazareth," because watch what Nathanael says next, verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Do you see that? So in those days, the people of Israel, they didn't consider anything of value coming out of Nazareth. So this would have been one of the reasons that a Jewish person back in the... See, we're often kind of in our minds, I think, in our spirits, we're kind of hard on those Jews back in those days and say, man, how dumb were they to reject Jesus? I mean, how could they not see all these prophecies being fulfilled? Well, one of the first reasons is they would have looked at that and said, Nazareth? His mom and dad are from Nazareth? I don't think so. I don't think the Messiah is going to come out of Nazareth. This was the attitude of the day. So let's move on. Let's talk about Joseph. Now that applied to Joseph as well. But let's talk about Joseph now. Where do we first find out about Joseph? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew chapter 1. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. By the way, this is the kind of stuff that most of us, when we're reading through our Bibles, skip over, yes? The genealogies. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, and we think, there's nothing here. This is just for history's sake. Well, hang on. Let's continue to read. Verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. Now watch verse 3. And Judah begat Phares, and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. Now, that just sounds like a whole bunch of weird names, right? And we're thinking, okay, let's get through this so we can get to the Christmas story. Actually, this would be, for us, this is just, you know, ho-hum. This is just boring genealogies. But for a devout Jew, they're looking at this and they're going, whoa, time out. Time out. Why is that? Well, let's talk about it. We know that the main character in this is Judah. Judah is one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Remember Abraham? Abraham had a son named what?
Isaac.
Isaac had a son, had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. One of those was Judah. Judah is the one prophesied to be the correct line that from which the kings would all come, and David did, and all that, and eventually the Messiah would come from the line of Judah. However, there's an issue here, because Judah begat... Now this is, it's Phares here in the Old Testament, it's Perez, and other, there's, it's, the name changes depending on the language in which we're reading. But who was that, and who was his mother, Tamar? Well, We're going to read just a couple of verses because, frankly, it's you know, I've said this many times, folks. If you want to find, it is like a Jerry Springer show, exactly. If you can find everything in the Bible, folks, whatever it is, whatever your thing is that you have this thing you like to read about and watch on TV, I promise you there are better stories in the Bible than you'll see on any television because nobody could write this the way that this story went down. If you want to read it, read the entire chapter of Genesis 38, but let's take a look at verses 6 and 7. Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. All right, so Judah had a son named Ur, and he married her to a girl named Tamar, verse 7. And Ur, Judah's firstborn. Why doesn't anybody name their kids Ur anymore? Ur. Pirates do. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord. Watch the rest of this. And God killed him. Well, look at that. Now listen, now this is one of those verses where people who are skeptical, and I don't blame them. Honestly, if I were skeptical, if I weren't already a believer and I came across a verse like this, and it said Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord and God killed him, what? God just killed him? Yeah, God just killed him. This is one of those where you say, yeah, I'm out of this. This is why I don't read the Bible. This is why I don't go to church. This is why I don't like that stuff. I totally get that. I'm not going to apologize for what God did here. For whatever reason, God killed Ur. Now, that's the part of the story I'm going to read for you. The rest of it you can read on your own. I can promise you this, it only gets worse. The sordid details of what happened after that. You see, Tamar, you know, right off the bat, we have this story about Tamar. It's a dark story. The story only gets worse because it ends with Tamar posing as a prostitute that Judah, her father-in-law, goes into. And he fathers a child with her. And it's a sordid story. Now, here's the point, and we're not going to get hung up on that. And some of you have already turned to Genesis 38. You're reading that, and you're not listening to anything I said now. Listen, this is not the kind of story that a Jew would want to be reading about when you're trying to say, this is your Messiah. I mean, right off the bat, this is the story. The Jews all knew this story. This was the story that all the Jewish boys in school would go out on the playground and they would read over in the corner of the playground. This is what they would talk about. This was the story. The rest of that, they're all like, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do all these. This is the one they like to read about. This is the one they couldn't wait for the teacher to talk about in class. So, you know, it was just that sordid. And so here's the deal. So this was one that they would say, wait, you're telling me the Messiah came from this? This? But it doesn't end there. The genealogy of Jesus continues in verse number 5. Let's take a look at verse number 5. Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Wait, okay, so now the very next verse. Rahab. Anybody know the story of Rahab? Rahab was also a prostitute. Not only a prostitute, she was also a Canaanite. You know, not even allowed to be in the temple, but she was. And so we have these stories. You know, Rahab and she was a prostitute and a Canaanite. And then we continue on, and we find Ruth, and it just kind of continues on. Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba's not even named. Watch verse number 6. We're going to go through this quickly. Bathsheba, verse number 6. Notice what verse number 6 says. As this genealogy continues. And again, every Jew at the time would have understood this. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. You remember the story? So this is in the family line of Joseph. He has all of these scandals. The story here, if you don't know the story, David took the wife of, look, they don't even name Bathsheba here. They don't even name her. But it's Bathsheba. David, the king, God's man, took Bathsheba away from her husband, committed adultery with her, and then killed Uriah in order to have her. That was in the family line of Joseph. And so you see, for the Jew back 2,000 years ago, when you're told that Mary and Joseph are from Nazareth, Jesus' parents, and then you're You're given these names that immediately bring out all these scandals from the past of the family line. It's really not as hard. It begins to be not as hard to understand why there were some people in that day that said, you know what, I don't know that I'm going to believe that's who the Son of God is. I'm not going to believe that the Son of God came from that. So we have Mary, we have Joseph. So let's talk about the shepherds. Let's talk about the shepherds. Hi, buddy, you are stealing the show. So you're as bad as some of these turkeys out here that get candy and sit there and rustle the paper wrapper, you know, through the service. Watch, everybody, try to focus now. So who were these shepherds? Who were the shepherds, and what do we know about them? Let me ask a question. I think I put it in your study guide. Where is the only place in the world that we can read about a second-hand account of the Christmas story? And when I say second-hand account, that means it wasn't the actual person who witnessed it. It was that person told somebody else. So where is the only place in the world we can read about the Christmas story secondhand?
Luke chapter 1 and 2.
There you go. In the Bible. That's the only place. All the other accounts of Jesus' birth all come from those stories. Now, can I ask you this question? Why are there no first-hand accounts? Why is there nowhere, anywhere, a first-hand account of Jesus' birth? Well, the only how did we say was there? We said that Mary was there, Joseph was there. Well, they didn't write anything down. Who are the other people?
Shepherds.
The shepherds. Why didn't the shepherds write it down?
They
were. Nice and loud, Laura.
They were.
See, we revere shepherds. We think of shepherds as the good shepherd and all that, the way Jesus talked about them. There's even more to it than that. Why would the shepherds not have written down the story? They couldn't read or write. Shepherds had no education. Shepherds were it was the lowest occupation of the day, and very few people could read or write anyway. And so the shepherds couldn't write down their story. All they could do was tell their story. So we have this situation where God chose to call a girl from Nazareth, the worst of the worst of the worst towns, and her husband. And her husband has all this seedy, scandalous stories in his family line. And now he goes, and the only people he invites to the manger are shepherds, who are considered to be the lowest of the low. And Leah said they were considered also be liars. Nobody would believe them. So and again, I did not know that. So, but I do know this. I do know that they were very uneducated, and they had no understanding. Hey, buddy, it's good to see you again. So they did not know. They couldn't write it down. Now, why would God do that? And we don't know why God would choose that. We don't know why God chose to bring the greatest message in the whole world. If you were a Jew of the time, from whom would you expect to hear the news of the Messiah being born? Who would you expect to give you that? The Pharisees. The Pharisees were like the religious of the religious. Yeah, they were the top dogs. What's that?
Oh, I just said they were like the high.
They were. Yeah, you would expect. So what's God's history? When God wanted to speak to the people in the Old Testament, through whom did he speak? Prophets, priests, religious, yeah, donkeys sometimes, but mostly, which was the same thing most of the time, but he chose to speak through the religious leaders, right? Now again, I'm not judging God for how he did it. I think it's wonderful the way God did it. What I'm trying to get us all to look at is, if you were an Old Testament Jew, if you were a Jew living at the time, and you were sitting in your town, and shepherds came to your town. Shepherds came knocking on your door in the middle of the night, and they said, guess what? We have seen the Messiah. Shepherds. Lowest of the low. Can't read or write. They were considered to be the dregs of society at that time. If they came to your door and said, we have heard of the Messiah's birth, and we'll tell you all about it. What would you think? Yeah. You probably would not believe them either, right? This is why so many of the Jews at the time, they were skeptical about whether or not this, because why would they believe God would speak through shepherds instead of their priest? Why would God believe they would speak through shepherds instead of their religious leaders that they had always been taught to listen to? So we have these things. You know, if you can imagine, you know, okay, you know, you think about the times that angels appeared to somebody in Old Testament. What did a Jew, if you were a Jewish man at the time or a Jewish woman at the time, and you've heard about angels visiting men, right, and giving messages. Yeah, men like Abraham with Sodom and Gomorrah, men like Elisha, a prophet. You know, you don't hear much about angels visiting people. He visited Samson's mother and father. You know, an angel visited there. So there's some stories, but they're almost always really, really important people. So we probably would be very skeptical as to why these Jews didn't believe. If you can imagine, if somebody from Ostrander, Billy, yeah, you know, somebody from Ostrander, you from Ostrander too? If somebody from Ostrander came in here and said, spaceship just landed in my yard. You believe them? Well, you believe they saw it, yes, but do you believe it really happened? Do you believe it happened? Of course you don't believe it happened, right? But what if the President of the United States got on, called a press conference and said, listen, we need to announce that we have made a first contact with alien life. You'd be much more likely to believe that, right? You know, I mean, I'm just saying, generally speaking. So the point is, this is what it was like back in the days when Jesus was born. The Jews of the time, the devout Jews especially, look, to this day, religion often gets in the way of people believing in Jesus Christ. Religion is the worst thing that's ever been created. You know, that's why Jesus came along and said, I want to have a relationship with you. I don't want this religion stuff anymore. Jesus said, I want to have a relationship, not religion. I don't want a bunch of rules. I don't want a bunch of policies. I don't want it to be all about what you do. I'm going to make it about what I do. You just believe, because religion keeps people from believing because it gives them men to look at. I mean, what do most religions of the world, what are they? They're all about some man, right? They're about some leader. They're about a pope, or they're about a pastor, or about some leader, some charismatic leader. It's somebody that's always trying to draw. Look, anytime we try to draw the attention to ourselves, we are not putting the attention on Jesus Christ, and we are wrong. Amen. But that's what religion is, yes? That's the way it was back in the days of Jesus when he came. It was all about that high priest. It was all about going to the temple and asking that high priest to do something for you. So here we are. So here's the question then. So did you ever wonder why nobody followed Jesus from day one? I mean, think about it. The Messiah came. Jesus came. He was born. It was announced. Why weren't people following him all of his life? Are you with me? He should have had a Twitter following to rival whoever, I don't even know who's, I don't care who's on there. I mean, there should have been people that followed him every day of his life, watching the Messiah grow up, waiting for him to take his place. That's what should have happened, yes? Had anybody believed at the time, look, if you believed that the Messiah had been born, wouldn't you kind of want to follow his career? And you know, they had that chance. We don't have time to look at, you know, the religious leaders of the day. They would have resisted that, and that's probably why the Christmas story faded so very, very quickly. Because you know what? Nobody even knew who Jesus was. He was. Let's take a look at some scripture here. Go to Luke chapter 2, and right after Simeon and Anna, we don't have time to tell that story, but right after that, watch what happens here in verse number 41. We'll get to it. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Verse 40, the child grew, that's Jesus, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, grace of God was on him. Now watch verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem, how often?
Every year.
Every year, the Messiah came to Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover. Why was there not a buzz in Jerusalem every year saying, I wonder when the Messiah is going to get here? When is Jesus going to get here? I wonder what he looks like now. Why is nobody following him? Do you know that when he was 12 years old, they found him in the temple and he was astounding the religious leaders with how much he knew? But they didn't know who he was. They had no idea who he was. In fact, we know nothing about Jesus' life. From the time he was born, we know just that one story when he was 12, and nothing again until he is almost 30 years old, around 30 years old. Why are there not book after book after book? Wouldn't you like to have a book about Jesus as a teenager? I mean, wouldn't you like to know who gave him a bottle? Who gave him? Did you give him that? Really? I guess it's time to go. Look, here's my point. And there's a reason why he didn't have a following all of his life. And it's because it was easy for the Jews to not believe. You and I can look back. It all makes sense to us, yes? We look back in hindsight. Isn't it ironic, 2020, when you know the expression is, hindsight is always 2020? When you look back, you can see everything clearly. We can look back and we can see all those prophecies line up. We can see how Jesus fulfilled all those prophecies. Isn't it an amazing thing that the Jews of today, they have that same thing. They have all those same prophecies, and yet, even today, they can't even look back and see that it's true. And we saw why that is, because God has blinded their eyes. But let's not be too hard on them, because we have a Christmas story that we can believe because we're not blinded. But you know, part of our world doesn't know yet. And that's our job, to share that with the world. We don't need to share it with Israel. God's going to take care of that. We need to share it with the community around us. So we talk about unlikely people today. Next week, we're going to talk about unlikely places. There's another reason why the Jews would not have believed the Messiah when they saw it, why they missed it. We'll talk about that next week. And it's not just Nazareth, by the way. Okay, thank you so much for being here. I am so glad to see all of you. Please be careful, be safe. I will see you on Sunday.